I say the word synergy, and I'm glad you mentioned the word buying group for you as well, right? Explain, though, what's the difference between a retail and a distribution buying group? Like, what are the benefits that you're bringing to your members of Powerhouse?
Powerhouse, everybody thinks we got together as a buying group first and foremost. And yeah, we are a buying group, but first and foremost, we got together so 10 guys can sit in a room and talk about best practices.
Welcome into the Independent Thinking Podcast. This is your host, Rob Stott. This week on the podcast, we get to talk to a different buying group that serves the consumer electronics and custom integration industry, but from the distribution side. So while we have our Oasis, Ellipsis, and Ozion dealers and our consumer electronics dealers here at Nationwide Marketing Group and within our custom integration division, there are partners that we work with that have, you know, on the distribution side, that have a similar model to the way they go about doing business on behalf of their members. And in particular this week, we're talking about Powerhouse Alliance, a group of distributors across the country that serve different markets. And, you know, there's really no overlap between the members. Obviously, an important thing to call out about the group and, you know, why and how they go about identifying members of the group. But at the end of the day, the reason Powerhouse exists is a lot like why Nationwide exists. Of course, you know, there's the buying group portion of the business and ensuring that distributors can, you know, that are members of the group have access to product lines and vendors at rates that make sense for the distributor. But it also, as well, there's the education side of it and the best practices and networking and idea sharing among the distributors to ensure that, you know, they're working efficiently amongst themselves, but also able to serve the markets that they serve in a way that is beneficial to everyone. So really cool opportunity to sit down with Dennis Holzer, the executive director over there at Powerhouse, just across the other side of the state, right? A trip down the PA Turnpike from where I sit while we were recording this episode, but always, you know, fun to catch up with a fellow Pennsylvanian, but also to catch up with someone that has a mind for this industry and not just, you know, how to go about running the group that he's running, but also the trends within the space and the things he's hearing about the economy and what's going on the distributor side of the business. And they have a unique insight as well, right? So they house product, they see where product's coming, where it's going as well, kind of that middleman between the manufacturer and the dealer. So they get to see the trends on in sort of how things like the supply chains flowing and just what product is popular, all sorts of stuff like that. So great to pick his mind and, you know, see what he's seeing from the distribution side that our members could learn from. So really cool opportunity to sit down with Dennis, and that's what we do this week on the podcast. So let's dive into it. This is Dennis Holzer of Powerhouse Alliance here on the Independent Thinking Podcast. All right, we are back on the Independent Thinking Podcast and joined today by Dennis Holzer, the Executive Director of Powerhouse Alliance. Dennis, appreciate you taking the time and calling in and, you know, wanting to do a podcast, man.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me on this beautiful 92 and sunny degree day in Pittsburgh.
Right. Well, I guess I should save this episode then and publish it in the summer. Or can I ever publish an episode with those degrees being called out?
Well, not if you want the truth and only the truth.
No, that's awesome. Well, hey, fun to get to talk to someone from the other side of the state, right? I don't know how you feel about Philadelphians.
On this podcast, it's fine. On the game field, it's a different story.
No, that's awesome. Hey, I got a lot of love for that city. I spent a couple of years, my college years at Duquesne University, so I know all about Pittsburgh and you know, the South Side and Forbes Avenue, all those college campuses along there. You know, crazy. You get Duquesne, Pittsburgh, and Carnegie Mellon, and then you also get Point Park University.
Point Park. There's Chatham University, yeah. And there's also Carlo College.
Forbes Avenue.
Yeah, all on Forbes Avenue within like a 3-mile radius.
It's incredible. So I had a lot of fun out there. So I enjoy getting back when I can as well. So awesome to be able to have you on and talk to you and dive into Powerhouse Alliance, because there's a lot to talk about. It's some fun stuff going on in this space. So We appreciate the opportunity.
Powerhouse is pretty unique, if I can say so for myself. We have 10 members, which encompass 70 warehouses across the country. And the great thing about Powerhouse, and this has nothing to do with me, so is we have 10 guys who are all in wholesale distribution who all do the same thing, but they do it 10 different ways. And the reason they do it 10 different ways is because it's their territories and they are confined to their territory. There are territory restrictions. They're in their territories. And frankly, what my guy can do in Boston would not work in California. And what my guy in California can do would not work in Boston. And Chicago may not work anywhere. So that's what makes it unique. The people are homegrown at each location.
Yep.
They know their markets. Our youngest distributor in age is about 40 years. Our oldest distributor is 155 years.
Wow.
So, you know, when you've been 155 years, I mean, first of all, you've seen all the cement sidewalks redone, but that's pioneer music. Yeah. But as I said, these are homegrown distribution, family-owned companies where, again, pioneer music, 155 years, 154 years. They're now on their sixth generation.
Yeah.
But all of them have brought their kids into the business, and their kids are eventually or already starting to take over the businesses. So it's really been a great thing. And as I said, it's unique in distribution. It's not this corporate mass entity that, you know, I call it the Target method, where if Target sends out an email from Minnesota, every store does what they say and looks like, you know, they all look alike. You've been in one Target, you've been in all Target. It just may be turned a little differently, but, you know, the Hershey bars are in the same place at every Target store. So that's the uniqueness of Powerhouse.
Well, the cool thing to like, it sounds, there's a lot of synergies, right, between the way Powerhouse is set up. And I look at Nationwide, obviously we're on the retail side, but that we're coast to coast, but it's regional based. A retailer in California, to use your example, might not operate, probably doesn't operate the same way an independent retailer in Boston does. But they can still talk to one another and learn about how they're going about their business, the strategies that work, maybe the product categories that they're even seeing that are doing well compared to one another, and really learn and grow their businesses based off of that.
Well, and that, ironically that you say that, that's how Powerhouse got into business. My background is distribution, but the one thing with distribution is that, and this applies to retail too, it applies to frankly every level, you're afraid to say anything about your success to anybody else because you never know if they're going to be shipping into your territory.
Yeah,
right.
It's your secret
sauce. Yeah, so, but what brought Powerhouse together was we wanted to be, everybody wanted somebody to talk to, you know, and so Powerhouse, everybody thinks we got together as a buying group first and foremost. And yeah, we are a buying group, but first and foremost, we got together so 10 guys can sit in a room and talk about best practices. And the uniqueness there is, and I repeat this to my guys all the time, if somebody needs a new phone system, there's 9 other guys in the room who have phone systems.
Yeah.
And what a better way than to talk to someone who's in a similar business. And, you know, you can say, hey, I'm looking at that Toshiba phone system. And the one guy will say, hey, you know what? I have it. It's tremendous. Or another guy may say, I have this Novell system and it's terrific. Or I may have this system and man, does it stink? Did I make a big mistake? So that's the uniqueness. And when you talk about buying of trucks for delivery, we all know there's hundreds and hundreds of things we all do every day that a lot of cases we take for granted until they break, you know, and we need them. And so a truck is an example of that. A phone system is an example of that. Warehouse equipment, packaging, you know, obviously we all do a lot of shipping. And a lot of receiving. So taping, you know, something as simple as taping a box.
Yeah.
You know, my friends at UPS and RP and FedEx, they are not going to like this, but they're not in the take care of all their packages business. They're in shipping them as fast as possible and throwing them out the back of the truck as quickly as possible.
We've seen the social posts, you know.
Absolutely.
Who cares about how it gets to the doorstep?
Yeah. And it's, you know, obviously during COVID, it was 10 times worse because everybody was shipping everywhere and every truck was packed. And so, you know, there's just a lot of different things that it doesn't matter, again, what level you're at, things you encounter every day that, you know, if I need a phone system and I'm going back to the phone system, yeah, I can do the homework and that's going to take me hours of Googling and calling and making appointments. But now if I have nine guys sitting next to me and six of them have a Toshiba system,
yep,
I'm going to ask them. And then I have one call to make if I'm happy with what, and I know cost basically too. So that's what brought Powerhouse together and the uniqueness of Powerhouse in a market. And again, a lot of things I'm going to say are at all levels in a market that is, you know, and I'm sure for a lot of your dealers too, if you'd have said to me 4 years ago when COVID really erupted, I thought, oh my God, we're all in for trouble because who's going to let an integrator or somebody into their house unless right. it's absolutely mandatory, your refrigerator breaks or something.
Yep.
And I've been doing this 43 years and how wrong I was. People let them in their houses in droves.
Right.
And people were buying TVs and appliances and really upgrading their house A to Z.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, again, any help you can get, and that's what I'm sure I know that's what Nationwide does for their dealers. That's what we do for our members is it put them on an easier path. They have enough to deal with every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love to, you know, I say the word synergy. And I'm glad you mentioned the word buying group for you as well. Right. Like, so
yep.
kind of explain though, the difference, because people sitting here listening, like what distributor, how do distributors have about like what's the difference between a retail and a distribution buying group? Like, what are the benefits that you're bringing to your members of Powerhouse?
So I bring a lot of benefits just as Nationwide does. The first benefit I bring is that, you know, when you own a business, and again, it doesn't matter if it's a retail business owned by an independent person or a distribution business owned by mm-hmm. an independent person, you need to have lines, obviously, to sell.
Yeah.
And every day you need education. You know, maybe you have these three lines, but out of the blue, here comes a fourth line and you got to do the work and you got to follow up on it, look into it, see if it makes sense for your business. Same thing goes for Powerhouse, especially in electronics right now. The way companies are approaching things, I'm not sure in 3 to 5 years from now, you're going to have to get off your recliner for anything because everything's going to be controlled by your phone or your tablet. And the only thing you'll need on your recliner is a little motor so you can drive it into the kitchen, get your dinner, back out, do your banking on your TV, do your purchasing on your TV.
I have a life goal now.
So, you know, so what happens is I am in charge, and not that my guys don't do it, but I'm in charge of looking at where is the market going? What are the hot lines? And that's just at the top of things. And then obviously when you drill down and there's a line you want, a line you feel you need in your mix to offer, now comes a negotiation for price. And we'd all like to think that there's, you know, just a distributor price sheet, a dealer price sheet, a big box price sheet, et cetera.
Not so easy.
I think we've all seen over the last 20 years, 15 years, that price sheet has become tie-dyed. And it involves negotiation, unfortunately. So I do the negotiation. I get the program for the group. And then I present it to the group. And this is a step we've thrown in. I used to get the lines and give them to the members. Now I make them vote on the line.
Yeah.
And if they vote, 70% of our members vote yes, then all 100% of the members, whether they voted no or not in that sure. deal, they've got to take on the line. And so, you know, and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Oftentimes, a lot of the lines we add are unanimous, to be frank. But there's occasionally a line where a guy, you know, has a friendship with this rep on this line, and, you know, he doesn't want to bring something in. But that's part of the group mentality.
Yeah.
We are a team, and there is no I in team, unfortunately or fortunately. So we bring it in.
Yeah.
And that's, we only bring in 3 to 4 lines max a year.
Gotcha.
And the reason we do that is last year, for example, we were offered 70 lines. And there were several lines, frankly, that were great lines that we said no to. And it's not that we wanted to say no. It's that by the time we get a line in and we train our staff, we get it in inventory, we tell our dealers we have it, they start to advertise it or put it in bigs for their dealers. That's a process.
Yeah.
And unless we all have only one line, we obviously we can't take our eye off everything we do have. This is an addition. Mm-hmm. So it takes time. Yeah. And in my thinking for my members, one line per quarter is, frankly, all they can handle, all their bandwidth can handle.
Now, just a clarification point. When you say line, is that one specific vendor. Product or vendor?
There no, you go. Yeah. That's a vendor's product yep. line and everything that goes with it.
No, that's and awesome. So, makes perfect sense.
It just takes time. And like I said, you know, we have a loyalty to our vendors. And the other thing I got to add there is that doesn't mean the member, similar to what your guys do, can't right. add additional stuff that is not Powerhouse. And a good example is Powerhouse's audio video line today is Yamaha. Mm-hmm. But all my guys have Yamaha.
Right.
But some, in addition, have Denon or Marantz or mm-hmm. Integra, Onkyo, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't care about those lines, to be frank. I beat my guys up on my line, on the Powerhouse lines. I so much to the point I send a report card every month to every member on what they purchased from all the Powerhouse vendors the previous month. And every member sees every member's report card. And that's not to embarrass anybody, but going back to the beginning of this conversation, if one guy, we have RTI and he did 10,000 this month and another guy did 100,000, I hope the 10,000 guy is going to pick up the phone and call the $100,000 guy and say, what did you do? You know, you really kicked my rear this month. Yeah. You know, did you get a school bid? Did you, you know, how did you get to that number?
Well, it's a great point too, because like the group, back to you mentioning group mentality, like as much as it is learning from one another, you can't deny the fact that there's always a little bit of a competition factor as well, right?
Absolutely.
You love to, we're human nature. We love to compete and learn and, realize success and whatever form that comes in, being able to see how you stack up against other individuals is a great way to learn. Another way to learn, right? So,
and the majority of the time, even though we look at it at first sight as negative,
right?
It typically makes us better at what we do, and smarter.
Yeah.
So while we look at it as, oh man, he kicked my rear end last month, you know, hopefully next month you're going to be a little smarter. You're going to do things a little differently if that's possible. And maybe that guy got lucky that month.
Right.
So, you know, luck plays a part in everything we do too. So,
absolutely.
It just, everything applies. And again, it always goes back to always being on the same page with everybody, listening, you know. I know you guys have it. I have it. You know, you introduce something and somebody says, I can't sell that.
Right.
Well, and I hear it often. The truth of the matter is, let us not decide what we can sell. Let the dealer decide if he wants to buy it from us.
Sure.
Absolutely. So, you know, I in my lifetime, all of us have bought a lot of great products, really great products that didn't sell. And frankly, a lot of crappy products that sold like hell.
Right.
So, you know, you just
good luck figuring out these consumers, huh?
Yeah. You don't know what I mean. You don't know what it, I mean, you do to some extent.
Right.
But never, I hate when people underestimate the consumer or make a decision for them.
And that's happening a lot right now, just economically, right? You know, consumers are really kind of performing, if you will, against some serious expectations, some seriously negative expectations that have been set out for them, you know, by economists out there all over the place. And I kind of want to give you a chance because you mentioned something too about, you know, you got a unique look at categories and how they're performing and just sort of the direction things are heading.
Sure.
You know, for what should have been, for all intents and purposes, a really down year. And in some cases, you know, it was a very roller coaster like kind of year, right? You know, what are you seeing as you look back from the distribution side? How did 2023 sort of wrap up as a year?
I'll tell you, I've been doing this a long time, as I said, and 2023 is one of the first times in my career that it was really, really unique. Typically, and first of all, and this is famous, we all do it, you can't believe everything you read or hear. That's first of all.
Yep.
Second of all, we were coming off of three history years during COVID. And so we have our history, our final history year last year, and now all the economists, et cetera, are saying, oh my God, you know, you're going to have to wear ripped jeans for the rest of your life because you're not going to be able to buy a brand new pair of. And for the most part, the majority of our members are up over last year.
Wow.
We have a couple pockets around the country where they're about 5% down. In totality. And, you know, when I look at 5% versus a history year,
right.
You know, my members say, oh my God, I'm down 5%. I look at them and say, but that's versus history.
Right.
You know, if that was the worst year you ever had, 5% down versus that last year, you're not doing so bad. So overall, our business has remained strong. Now, in fairness, we sell a lot of our dealers are integrators. Drive a white van with no name on it.
Yep.
And so those guys, the dealers they're selling to are not typically your Best Buy customer.
Right.
So, you know, they're still doing different things in their house, maybe not to the level they were last year. But they are still replacing TVs. They still are, you know, doing different things. Certainly with all these new gadgets you can, that, as I said, you can sit on your recliner and, and do anything. So our business, knock on wood, has really been, in totality, has been very good.
Yeah.
And we're happy with it.
It's a point that I don't think has been made enough. I think I first heard it maybe back at Cedia, you know, during there was that state of the industry, buying groups up there talking amongst each other, and mentioning, you know, I think historically we've wanted to compare year over year, and you know that's just the way we've been accustomed to looking at how business is performing. Like, did I do better than last year? Did I do worse? Why not? And you mentioned it, some really just off the charts sort of years in terms of performance. So to try to comp compared to what are some all-time high numbers, it's going to look down. But, you know, we almost have to change the way we look at it, right? Like almost those pre-COVID years or just sort of getting back to, I hate the term getting back to normal, but like more on a traditional curve of how growth is looking.
You're right. And I don't know that those last 3 years were an anomaly because ultimately, if you replaced your TV 2 years ago, you're probably going to replace it in the next 2 years anyway. So it may have sped up some of that. But the other thing is your high end, the dealers that you have that are selling more of the high end products, whether it's a Thermador, a Viking, a KitchenAid, et cetera, those customers, in fairness, are not as affected by what happens to an average consumer every day. So those guys, that refrigerator goes or it's bad, they're still replacing it immediately.
Yeah.
So, you know, the last thing we can afford to do, and we're all famous for doing it, and I certainly put myself in there, is you hear what you hear on the TV, you read what you read in the newspaper, and your brain says, uh-oh, we better start to panic.
Right.
And That's not the way, unfortunately or fortunately, this economy works anymore. And I'm going to say something, and it's not meant to be political, but when we talk about inflation, and that's the buzzword,
right?
The truth of the matter is, I don't term it inflation. And I don't term it inflation because if you're paying the cook at Wendy's $8 an hour, and now you're paying him $18 an hour, the hamburger he's making is going to go up in price because you went from 8 to 18. So when we talk about inflation, yeah, that cost of that hamburger went up, but so did somebody's salary. You know, so, and you got to put both of them. It's not just one side of the equation's going up. It's both sides of the equation going up. And I don't look at that, frankly, and I'm probably weird. I don't look at that as inflation because, you know, if it were just one, the product going up, that's true inflation.
Right.
But the salaries are going up for these people too, which is causing some of this. So a guy who was making $8 an hour and selling the burger for $5, now he's making $18 and he's selling it for $10. You don't want to pay more, but you're not saying no to a raise either.
Right.
So, you know, I think we need to tame the talk.
I see where you're heading. And I mean, hey, we're all a little weird too. So I get it. Completely get it. Right. But no, so I want to dive into, you know, looking at this last year and then look ahead as well. But, you know, were there some areas specifically around product that, you know, you kind of look to as like these were where the wins were this year, or the categories that sort of exceeded expectation over the past 12 months?
I think the sizing of TV, you know, people, you know, again, I've been in this business all my life. The difference for me to most is when I owned a distribution company and I sold it in 2008, I was a white goods and a brown goods distributor. I had Whirlpool at the time and I had RCA and Toshiba at the time. So I get it. And these are unique times. I mean, we're talking about all these fancy new gadgets and different things, but it's amazing to me that I thought when we got to 65-inch TVs, and now I'm aging myself, how much larger is the consumer going to want? You know, if you really want to go big, you got a projector in those days.
Yeah.
Well, now 72, 75, 82, 85, 98-inch TVs, we're basically selling a lot of those as fast as they come in. And that was pretty surprising to me that, and we're all, especially those who understand the TV business, you know, it goes down in cost 25% every year, but there's a lot of consumers who don't want it to wait till next year when it goes down in price. They want to be the first one to have that size TV because they want that size TV.
Early adopter syndrome.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that surprised me a little bit. Other surprises are the ups and downs of receivers. Frankly, during COVID, you couldn't get enough of them. Anything that came in sold out the next day. Why? I don't understand. Now we're after COVID and receivers have really slowed down. So the one thing I've tried not to judge the consumer anymore.
Yeah.
And now I want to just go with the flow and let they're going to do it anyways, determine what they want. But so TVs have surprised me. Receivers have surprised me in the wrong way. What hasn't surprised me and continues to grow is the networking business.
Yeah.
And I'm a great example. You don't realize how many devices you have in your house,
right,
that require a network until you sit back and you say, oh, my God, I never realized, you know, an average consumer would probably say 5, 6, and all of a sudden you're at 20 before you even, right, you know, if you have four, I have two daughters. So a wife, two daughters, and me, that's four phones. I have a powerhouse phone. That's five phones. Everyone has a computer. There's four more computers. So now we're at nine. Everyone in my house has a tablet. There's four more devices. We have four TVs that are actively, you know, smart TVs. So
it racks up quick.
Absolutely. And you don't realize how quick.
Yeah.
And obviously it's not 3 a.m. you need to worry about the speed, because your router will fly through at that time. But it's when somebody's streaming a TV program, someone's on their computer, someone's doing this, someone's doing this. Now the speed has dropped from 60 miles an hour to 5 miles an hour, and everybody's complaining. So that business and the advancements in that business cease to amaze me. I know if I would have said to my parents that they would have just two of them having 10 devices in their house, they would have looked at me like, I needed to go be drug tested. I think that part of the business, and I should have started with this by saying Powerhouse specializes in anything you need for the home theater category from A to Z, anything you need in the networking category from A to Z, anything you need in the residential security category, A to Z, and we have added the commercial category. We're certainly not A to Z, but we are working our way there.
Yeah.
And again, of those four categories, I have guys, my UI supplies distributor in New York, New Jersey, they have everything I've mentioned, and they have a whole electrical division with fixtures and whatever else goes with electrical. So all my members have at minimum what I have, but all of them far exceed just what Powerhouse does.
No, that's awesome. And something that you mentioned throughout there too is that, you know, kind of how things are moving. I think one of the big things we heard over the last couple of years, supply chain wise, right, is that chips, you know, we're getting scooped up, you know, unavailable, making really impacting the electronics business and how available things were and things were, you know, how quickly they were able to move through supply chains. Are we back to, do you feel like we're back to normal? Is it better than it was a couple of years ago at this point?
Yeah, it's predominantly back to normal. The unique thing is, and I think, again, including me, we all read the newspaper and we heard all the horror stories.
Yeah.
While we certainly encountered shortages throughout COVID, we didn't, and it's puzzling to me, but we didn't encounter line shortages. What we encountered were SKU shortages.
Yeah.
So in networking specifically, which contains a lot of chips, we may not have had the exact router you wanted, but we would have had a router below or a router above in the same line.
Yeah.
So while it did hurt us on certain models and in certain vendors, we didn't experience the shortage nearly to the levels that you read about in the magazines and the newspapers. Again, I don't want to say we didn't have it, because we did, but if our dealers needed to do a job of any type, we could fill those jobs with the product. But again, there may be some wiggle room on this SKU. We had to go up a step or down a step to fulfill the whole order. But we're back. I laugh because not only is everybody shipping everything, and every back order that was out there for those 2 years, trust me, every vendor has shipped. But we've also seen some price decreases.
Yeah.
Now that all that inventory came in,
things are catching up.
Absolutely. So we've seen some price decreases as a result of all the inventory back to, for the most part, normal. There's still a couple here and there of shortages, but it's nothing major.
How's that set you up for the new year? You know, as we look to 24, are things, any areas you mentioned, obviously receivers, TVs, kind of what they're doing, and things like that, but is there any category or, just sort of generally speaking, sort of what your anticipation is or expectations are for this year?
I think the TV business, as we're getting bigger and bigger and bigger, that continues and will continue to do well. I think the networking category, for the reasons I mentioned, it will continue to do well. One of the categories that has been doing a lot better and continues to get better is the outside category. And people where they want to duplicate their kitchen and their family room on their back deck. So, you know, specifically, I mean, we have got to do a better job, all of us, in educating the consumer that there's a lot of consumers out there, for example, in TVs. There are certainly outdoor TVs that are made for outdoor viewing. And a lot of people say, well, it's a little more money. I'll take my indoor TV and you know, I'll put it outside. And first of all, it can be hazardous, not definitely as hazardous, but it can be. Secondly, it's not meant – people, what they don't understand is just because they have it under an awning and it's not getting wet, the temperature increases and decreases, everything in there starts to corrode, and it hurts the TV, let alone it cancels out the warranty on the TV. So we do need to educate the consumer better that it's just not a sales pitch. You know, don't put your indoor TV outside. There's reasons for it that are very, very valid reasons. But I think COVID, obviously a lot of us stayed home. And with increases in costs of everything, people are staying home more and entertaining home at more. And so the outdoor kitchen, the outdoor home theater, I expect that category to continue to get bigger and bigger. And I think we're going through in that category now we had a 43-inch TV out there, and now there's 65-inch TVs available and bigger. And, hey, we have a deck up here, and we have something down here. So so I think there's a lot of opportunity. And what I tell my guys, obviously, and all the dealers is, hey, you know what? It doesn't hurt, and I know there's an expense, but put something on your floor. And if your consumer sees it, there's a hell of a chance, because a lot of our people are very, very good salespeople. There's a chance if you educate the consumer instead of letting them only look at Google, they're going to buy more product from you. They're going to see things. And with the financings that you offer, you know, really, what is the cost of adding another TV on the outside if, you know, they can get 1 year same as cash or 1 year no interest, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what I'm looking for. And again, I was at Samsung this week. There's a whole host of new gadgets coming. And wireless speakers and wireless this and wireless that. And so I think the future looks bright. And I would just tell everybody, don't read into everything you hear what's negative. You know, let's let the consumers make their decisions.
I love that. And if I didn't have one more question, that'd be a good one to end on. But one thing you've mentioned a couple of times throughout as well is education. And, you know, it is such an important part of what goes on in this space. We see it at events like CEDIA throughout. I know all the groups have, you know, education baked into their events. Distributors as well. So what's kind of your approach to whether it's obviously your members, they've got dealers that also need to be educated, and then there's the consumer, right? So what's the powerhouse approach to training and education?
So it obviously slowed down during COVID, and it's now starting to ramp back up. But my goal is to have one training per location per month for the powerhouse, for whoever purchases from powerhouse. And all of those trainings are no charge. Now we have added a component from CEDIA, where CEDIA is now using our locations to host some of their own CEDIA trainings. And people laugh at me when I say this, but this is the truth. We make nothing on those trainings. CEDIA, when you want to come to one of those, and those are certification trainings to be able to get certified. We host it, we're there, they're in our locations, but those, you have to pay for those. 100% of those funds go to Cedia. You would register with Cedia, you would pay Cedia. The certification obviously comes from Cedia, but we're hosting it. And the goal, frankly, the reason we're hosting it is if we get 10 dealers and nine of them know us, but one doesn't, I have the opportunity to introduce a powerhouse member to that one dealer.
Yep.
But over in that, plus that, we're trying to do one training per location per month. Some of those are held by, we have a full staff now that has been CEDIA certified trained. They all have their certifications. So we're doing a lot of those trainings. We have factory, some of those are, we have network trainings, but then we also have Eero or Luxo or different vendor specific trainings. So we're trying to really mix it up. We encourage everybody to come and learn.
Yep.
You're not required to buy anything. You're not required to do anything. It's not, and maybe you're not in the category. But you come, you listen, you may leave and say, you know what, this is too serious for me. But you may leave and say, hey, I could try this. This is a good place to start. And the one thing with Powerhouse, unlike vendors, and again, I'm not picking on them, you don't need to buy master cartons of products from us. You don't need to order in advance. You call me and you say, I need one brown faceplate. You will buy one brown faceplate. You know, I encourage everybody, and I'm not an inventory pusher or anything like that. I get beat up by everybody when I say that. My goal is if our dealers have clean showrooms and they display product, whether they, there's nothing more of a sword in my heart when a dealer says to me, I can't sell that. Because what's he basing? He's always going to base it on history. And tomorrow is a lot different than today. Today was a lot different than yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I just think you have to be in this market today. You've got to be a lot more open to try things. It doesn't have to be $1 million investment. And, you know, as I said, that's what distribution is good for. We can get you into a category as low priced as can be. And we're not going to beat you up if, as a vendor, where, hey, take my top 10 SKUs, take three of each and pay me. I would say to you, as I said, put one outdoor TV on your floor.
Give it a shot.
It a shot.
Yeah.
And you know, there's times where there's money involved, either from you or coming from me. Maybe it gets to the point where you say, hey, I absolutely can't sell this TV. Do you have a dealer? Maybe at a little discount, we can move it from that dealer to another dealer who needs a TV like that, or put it on their showroom.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that are, but don't ever say, I can't sell that.
Right.
Until you've at least tried. And please don't base it on 1920 sales when you did have that and you couldn't sell it. That's the difference, I think, in today's market versus several years ago. Selling and displaying are a totally different realm and atmosphere than it was years ago.
No, it's incredible. And see, you found a way to find another good kind of mic drop moment for the end of a podcast. I love it. See, we did it. No, that's it's some really great insights. And I mean, Dennis, I appreciate the time wholeheartedly. Cool to be able to kind of dig into the, you know, peel back the layers of Powerhouse, right, and see your approach to business in the distribution space and the insights too, because I think it's, you know, always important to hear those and get your take on sort of the direction of whether it's categories or just how things are happening in general. So we appreciate it, and I'm sure, you know, we will be certain to catch up again sometime soon.
Yeah, and Rob, if I can close on one thing.
Absolutely.
Is that, you know, we're all on the same team. We all have to work together. Too often, I I'm not embarrassed to say it, with some vendors, it's like an us versus them.
Right.
And that doesn't work. We there's no I in team here. My success, and I make no bones about this, is based on dealers purchasing from us. Mm-hmm. So we've got to do everything we can And I encourage your dealers, if there's something they're unhappy with, we're not doing, they'd like to see, call me. And I'm not going to call their distributor and say, oh, this dealer called and said, you're an idiot. You know, I'm not the brightest guy in the world. And what they see on the first floor, maybe I don't see on the second floor. So if there's right. something they need that can help them sell, I'd be stupid not to listen.
It gets back to, you know, as much as being part of a group is about learning from other group members, it's also across the category too, or across the industry, right? So the only way we get better and improve is, it's the same with Nationwide members. If we're not doing something that, you know, we need them to do, it's very much supposed to be an open line, right? Like, come talk to us so we can figure it out and find that solution. That's why we're here to support you. And it's no different with Powerhouse.
Teams are better than individuals. And you know, I stand by that. You know, you're only as good as the team you're on. And if there's a tool that is not in the toolbox and you need that tool, whether it's at the retail level, the wholesale level, whatever level. And as I said, I was just at Samsung this week.
Yep.
And there's a couple tools that I think were short. And it's not always price. It's not always, you know, what everybody thinks that it's always. And I can tell you, Samsung looked at me and said, you know, that's not a major deal. Let us consider it. So, I mean, that's good enough for me.
No, it's awesome. And like I said, you know, we appreciate the time and the ability to pick your brain a bit. So look forward to doing it again.
It's my pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity. And again, obviously yourself, anybody at Nationwide or any of your dealers, if they ever need my assistance in any way, please don't hesitate to ask.
You heard the man. Awesome. And thanks again to Dennis. Just like I said at the top, you know, a great opportunity to pick his brain, someone that sits in a unique seat to be able to spot trends and see what the distributor partners within his organization are seeing from you know, buying patterns and things like that. And of course, plugged in as well to every corner of this industry and, you know, talking about CE and CI as well. So of course, want to be able to sit down and see what he's thinking and the direction he thinks things are going. So appreciate him taking that time and chatting with us and sharing some insights with you. And of course, as always, appreciate you listening to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we'll catch you next time.